Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Xenia and I'm joined with the incredible Izzy.
Oh my gosh, hi.
And the marvelous Mateus. Wow. I was simmering on that for a while. I was trying to think of...
Alliterative.
Yeah, I was trying to be cool.
This is the humanities student.
Yeah, can anyone think of one for me? No, you can't.
Xylophone.
Yeah, okay.
X-ray.
It's giving unfortunate. That's what that's giving.
Well, how about we just pretend your name is spelled with a Z and we can call you Zebrazenia?
That's not authentic. I thought you guys were going to be generous and give me a great name. And speaking of generosity, the reason why I brought up that word is because, guys, we are starting a brand new podcast series.
No way.
Aren't they crazy, right? Who would have thought we've never done that before? But guys, yes, we are starting a brand new podcast series about generosity. So over this, I guess, Lent season, every single week, we're going to be looking at different aspects of generosity. We're going to look at sharing faith. We're going to look at sacrificial gifting. We're going to look at serving. We're going to look at hospitality. We're going to look at so many different themes. We'd love for you to stick around and join us. But today we thought we would just, I guess, kick off the series and talk about generosity. What does it mean to be generous? What does Jesus say about being generous? And I guess, how can we be more generous in our lives? So let's hop into it, shall we? So guys, I wanted to ask you,
not you laughing,
does generosity make you laugh? Is that why you're laughing?
It gives me so much joy.
Yes, it's such a joyful thing to be generous. No, I wanted to ask you guys about your experiences with generosity. Like, have you ever had a moment where someone's been like really generous to you and it made you like be like, whoa, this is so nice? Or have you, like, what's your relationship with generosity? Like, take it, whoever wants to.
I'll go
start the combo.
I got this weird thing that I do sometimes.
Tell us.
And it's more so like I like to revel in the awkwardness sometimes.
Right.
It fuels me.
Sounds like you, Izzy, a little bit.
See, actually, that's all of Izzy's personality. Yeah, that's right.
Brother, I wasn't erased.
But... absolutely bullied to meet. Jess is not even here.
But his spirit lives on. I love to revel in the awkwardness. So sometimes whenever I see something that someone's wearing, I'll be like, Izzy, nice jumper, not sweater or windbreaker. Yeah.
One of the three.
How much? And then they're like, what do you mean? How much did I buy it for? And I'm like, no. How much will you sell it to me
That's
for?
That's fantastic.
And they're like, oh, what? Oh, and they give me a number.
I may start using that.
But then like this week, I was at a friend's house. And I thought I'd pull a little how much. And out of the surprise, he just decided to give it to me. This sweater that was really, really cool.
Wow.
from this brand in Bristol. But it was like, just threw me off guard because I was never expecting someone to just like, just give it to me. But also I wasn't being like all that serious because I would never expect someone to be so sacrificially giving. Yeah, that was an experience just this week that I had.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. I had experience this week too.
Wow.
My friend Sam is very generous and I actually find it quite challenging because I would say I'm not supernaturally inclined to, I don't know, spend money on people or whatever, where he got me lunch this week and I was like, oh, that's nice. So we shared lunch and I was like, wow.
It's the simple things.
It is because, well, where I work, there's no cheap lunch spots and because I didn't pre-prep my food because I don't ever do that. And I was like, well, the cheapest place is like Waitrose. And I was like, this feels sad. So he sorted me out. What a day. That's a terrible... Well, no, that's not a terrible one to give.
Because you felt loved. You felt seen.
I did.
You
know, I got fed.
You got fed.
Sustained.
Come
Someone
to the
was
table.
Looking out for your needs in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like I've experienced quite a lot of generosity. I think because my parents are in church leadership, sometimes people are very generous to their church leaders. And so in the past, we've had like given whole holidays to us or like meals or lifts to different areas or stuff like that. So I feel like I've really seen some crazy generosity actually throughout my life.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
And that, has that like, I guess from a child and seeing like people be generous to your parents, has that made you, like, has that influenced your relationship with generosity or maybe receiving generosity? Because I know sometimes like it's really hard especially as Brits, like if someone wants to go out of their way to do something nice for you, you're like, ah, oh, man, I can do it myself. Not only that, you think, worry.
Why are you being so nice?
Yeah.
You start thinking, what's in it for you?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Like, I think it's made me so much better at receiving it. Like, and that sounds really bizarre to say, but instead of being like, oh, no, I couldn't. You actually, you take that gift. And if you start being like, oh, no, then actually it stops them from also being that chance to, you know, be generous. And a lot of people's love language is through being generous. And so I think I've got better at receiving it. I think I'm getting there with being generous. But
life is a journey.
That's a journey.
Life's a highway.
I'm a younger sibling. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you get generosity all the time, don't you?
Well, yeah. Of course, I have to fight for my stuff. I'm like, it's mine. Don't touch it.
Really? As a younger sibling?
Yeah.
Now, the older siblings out there will understand my
pain. Just have to do whatever she says.
Oh.
But R was crazy. I feel like for me, I had this conversation literally yesterday night about the receiving generosity. So one of my friends was basically saying that like he was going through something and a friend reached out to him and randomly was like, I felt like God told me to give you money. Like, oh, like send me your bank details. I want to bless you. And he was like, no, like, right, I can look after myself. Like I have a job, like I'm okay. And then he went back later and was like, oh, actually, I feel like I should have allowed that person to bless me because if God told them to do something, they have to be obedient to God's words. Mm. And actually, I don't want to be somebody that stops somebody from obeying God just because my pride says I've got this, I can look after myself. Because actually, God does want to bless us. You know, like when Jesus practices generosity, it's not to make him feel good. No, it's actually so that he can connect with people and so that he can bless people. And God wants to do that for us as well. And so in that moment, he was like, maybe I should have just accepted it so that my friend could have been generous. And sometimes I think that way. Like, I know like there have been times where my friends have been like, oh, Zenya, let me pay for that coffee for you. Or like, oh, let me give you a lift to the station. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And sometimes we can want to be like very hyper independent and like, miss, I've got this all figured out. Mister, I've got this figured out. But actually, like in doing that, the pride that stirs up inside of you that makes you think that you've got it all together can stop other people from walking out what God has told them to walk out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or even just rejecting that blessing that God has planned for you, and he wants to bless you through, because he uses his people a lot. So actually in the way that he would use us to be generous to others and bless others, he's using other people to also bless us. So a lot of the time if we're like, nope, actually rejecting that God's blessing towards us, which, why do you want to do that?
Exactly.
A little bit more of an unconventional way that I've received generosity this week is that I was at a conference and there are a lot of older men there that I really look up to. And one thing that I really felt blessed by is that it's not necessarily like money or any possession, but a lot of these guys just gave me a lot of like some attention whenever I ask questions and they're really invested in the questions that I was asking them. And I was like, I never really, maybe because they felt so distant and intimidating to me, when I actually went up to them and they gave me the time of day and they were really interested in answering my questions and even sometimes going above and beyond and giving me a business card or whatever, I was like, wow, I felt really blessed because they actually were generous with their attention, generous with their time. So I think there are also other ways that
we can
like practice that generosity, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about what Jesus says about generosity, because mate, Jesus's way is the best way.
The way.
There you go. So yeah, we have a few scriptures that we want to share with you guys and I guess unpack about what Jesus says about generosity. So this is one in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. It's a classic. If you've read a bit about what Jesus says, you've probably heard this one before. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 in the NLT says, love your, actually no, it's in the NIV.
Well,
it's actually in the NIV. So sorry. I read the NLT.
I read NIV.
The brief's in the NIV. Anyways, Luke 6, 35, love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I think what Jesus says about you'll be children of the Most High because he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked is interesting, because isn't there a scripture that says like God reigns on the just or the unjust? I feel like that is a scripture. Don't come for me. But in the Bible, it says that. And it makes me think like God's generosity is impartial. It's not impartial. Like his generosity isn't exclusive. It's actually very inclusive. And as Christians, we should desire to be the same, like not just show generosity to like the few that you like or like the few people that you get on with, but actually to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think this frames it well, like the whole like topic around generosity. It doesn't matter what type of generosity it is, because we can be generous in many ways, but this frames like the whole thing well. Because when we do it, don't do it out of a place. James even talks about this in his book. Don't do it out of a place of like wanting to get something back, but actually do it with no expectation. Actually doing, even do it to those who you don't like particularly. He says your enemies. I don't know if I have any actual enemies. Maybe my ops are out there. That I just don't know they're
hidden.
My ops.
Right.
Mate. But I don't know if I have many enemies, but I definitely have people that I don't love as much as others.
Yeah.
But I should love them. That's the call of the Christian. So it frames the whole topic really well. I love how Jesus says that.
I think it's also that sentence that you pulled out, Zenya, of like being children of the Most High. I think that's a crazy concept to like try and grasp. It was basically saying like we are children of God, or we are heirs of God, and what that means and how much we've been given. And then almost like our responsibility to then honor the Father and pass that, keep being generous and keep carrying that, if that makes sense. I'm not phrasing that very well, but I think that almost like it's like a responsibility, like we're actually his children, like we are carrying him as our Father. And actually that let's honor him and be generous and be kind like he was, and keep that going forward. It's like almost like a challenge, or a bit like a reason why, like not that we always need a why, but like why be generous? It's like because we're literally children of God and we want to reflect what that means.
We've received freely, and so we give freely, right? That's what scripture says. And that's kind of what we live by as Christians. We understand that in being created in the image of God, like we were created, we received that freely. We've received even the generosity from the sacrifice of Jesus freely, and we've received all that we have in our lives by the grace of God. And because we have received freely, we must also be those who give freely. That's like, yeah, I love how you put it. It's a responsibility.
Yeah.
It's like a calling over our lives. It's not something that we step out in because it feels good or because we want to get something out of it. But that's actually, it's our job to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a religious way, because we can get quite religious about this. But there is a certain calling that we have as Christians to be those that are generous.
Yeah, it's not because of a job. It's because of our identity as children of the Most High.
There we go.
And if we belong to a generous God, how much more should we also be generous? Not just generous to people we like, not just generous to Christians, but generous to everyone, those that believe and those that don't believe as well. Because through our generosity, God's love for those people can shine and they can impact and be impacted by God in so many different ways. I also wanted to touch on this other scripture in Luke.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, Luke chapter 7, verses 44 to 46.
And
so, thanks, Mateus, for...
Why can't I see the number 7?
If you're looking for it, it's
right
just
face.
Before number 8.
Right in front of my face. It's actually the same 6. Page I was on.
Right.
Sorry. Guys, stay on the same page that you're... Okay, carry on.
That's a word for someone.
Stay
on the
same
page. Anyways, the scripture says, it says, then he turned towards the women and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. And basically it's about this woman that, like, she was having dinner with the Pharisees. She wasn't really like a, let's say, respected woman. Like people saw her as like quite sinful. But she just wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. And she like poured this really expensive perfume on Jesus's feet. This perfume that was like, let's just say it was worth a lot of money. And she didn't have much. And she poured out what she had. So yeah, what do you guys think about that?
I think when I was reading this yesterday in preparation, I read the whole chunk of it, and I think it is really interesting. And it's before the bit we read, and it's Jesus challenging the way of thinking of how love is linked with forgiveness and all this stuff. But I think it's her actions, like her display of love was her response to being forgiven. And I think it's an incredible it feels very like decadent, or it feels very extra almost, of her pouring out all this money and literally using her hair to clean someone's feet, which sounds very weird in this context, but I think it was right in that one. I'm not going to be cleaning your feet with my hair. But I think it feels very like, well, it feels very extreme. Like, it feels a bit like dramatic, like calm down, mate. But it's like, no, actually it was such an outward expression of love. And all out of response of being forgiven. And actually we are just as forgiven as that woman was. We're all sinful people. And her response is correct. Her response is to pour out her love and pour out her generosity, and knowing that it was worth it. Like, her losing all that money, or losing all that, you know, perfume, it was actually because it's for God. I'm not losing anything. I'm gaining so much.
Mm-hmm. But surely you can be too generous, right? Like, do you guys think that there's
you can't outgive God?
Yeah, but do you not think that you could be like, I guess, a bit too generous? Probably. Like, okay, now you've given everything, now you have nothing.
My grandma is actually a fantastic example of someone that gives so much. I was on a call with her the other week, and she literally was saying that if she was given £1 million, she'd probably give it all away. And I've definitely seen that in my life, like growing up with her, which sometimes I'm like, grandma, you'd probably be in a slightly better situation if you didn't give away quite so much stuff. But there's wisdom in there, and you know, you've got to work it out in that way. But it's interesting to see where literally anything she's given, she just gives it away. Mm. All of it. Which I think, yeah, that's not always I don't think it's always appropriate, and I don't actually always think it's always super smart. But for her, she's like, God always provides, and whatever he provides, it's not mine, I will give it. Which is a real challenge. I don't know how it necessarily applies for me, and what that would look like in reality for me. But I think it's been really interesting to see that growing up, and her just ability and want. That's what she really wants. It's her want to literally give it all away.
I'm reminded of the story of the rich man that came to Jesus and asked Jesus, how is it that I get into the kingdom of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, he lifts off a lot of the Ten Commandments. And then the rich man says, I've done all of that. And then he says, well, then go and sell all your stuff and follow me. And Jesus wanted this man to be open with everything he had.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real, the signifying mark of generosity.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that we are going to go into a life of non-possession where we have no possessions and we're just going to live. I saw this guy on Instagram. He literally has zero possessions. And this is like a social experiment that he's doing. And I don't necessarily think that's what we mean by generosity. Mm. He just gave everything away. But it's more so this openness with what we have. And I love the point that you brought before. It's this understanding that we have received so much. And the more that we really grapple with that revelation that we have received so much, it helps us actually open each finger to what we have and open up everything we have. And I think it's a call of obedience that we have to God. Because it might be actually that your grandma is called to give away this much to everybody. I met this woman. She was quite wealthy, and she was talking to me how she feels as if her calling is to give, and she gives with such a reverence to God, in the same way that she would give a word of knowledge to somebody. Like this a word of knowledge is like a word that you receive from God for somebody else.
Right.
Mm. So the same way that she would receive a word of knowledge for somebody else and give it with like, oh, is this right for this person? And she actually like grapple with it. She also gives monetarily, fiscally. And it's like this beautiful representation of actually how we're meant to give. It's with the Holy Spirit, it's with the Lord, because he guides us in it. But it can get twisted when we think, oh, we just need to give everything we have. And we can't have anything for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe not the heart of generosity.
No.
The heart is to be open with what we have, walking with the Holy Spirit, so that we're able to bless others, because we understand that we have been blessed. We have that great revelation.
And I think a lot of it is to do with the heart behind the giving. I think sometimes we can think like the goal is to give away X amount. Mm-hmm. The goal is to give away the most. But actually, like, you can give something with an empty heart behind it. And what I mean by that is you can give something but not think that this is for God, not think, oh, the Holy Spirit has prompted me to give. Like, sometimes our giving can be selfish. It can be, oh, I want to give so people can think I'm generous. Or I want to give because it's trendy to give things away. Like, you see on social media all the time that people giving away cars, people giving away like checks to random people in supermarkets, buying people's groceries and all that stuff. And we can think sometimes, oh, generosity can be trendy, so this is actually fun. But actually, there's a heart behind it that's ultimately, God, I want to give because you've either told me to, or out of an overflow of what I've received from you, yeah, I want to give. And I think the woman that pours the perfume on Jesus's feet, that's the heart she had. Because when she saw Jesus, she knew, wow, God has done so much for me. I just want to give back to God. Like, and there was no agenda to it. Mm. So yeah, that's what I was thinking as we were talking.
Even like, I think one of the disciples or the Pharisee, correct me which one, but goes and says, well, couldn't that perfume have been sold?
Yeah.
And we could have given it to the poor. And then Jesus says, actually, no, it's not about like the actual value, the monetary value of what is given. It's about the heart behind what she was doing. She understood that she was a sinful person, and maybe they could have got more money, like something that would have made more sense on earth from selling it. But actually she wanted, that's not how she was going to be generous at that moment. Her heart was pouring out in a different way to Jesus. And it's sometimes it's the same for us. We don't actually know like the actual whole value of our generosity. It might seem that perfume lost its value at the moment it was poured onto Jesus's feet, but actually it had great value in the eyes of Jesus. It had great values in her eyes, and it was used to bless her. And I believe Jesus was blessed by it as well.
Yeah. I think it's your point of that heart, and it's the openness. And I think it's so incredible. And actually I was really reminded of, I was in Uganda a few months ago with Compassion, which is a charity. And we were in some of the local communities that Compassion work with. So there's lots of children that are sponsored and church that are working in the local areas. And we visited some of the homes and some of the projects that are taking place. And the level of generosity I experienced was unlike anything I've ever seen. We were like led in worship by these children that, to be honest, really didn't have that much at all. And they were leading us in worship of being like, I am, the words were, I am ready to give everything I have for Jesus. Wow. And I remember getting so overcome with emotion where I was like, and I see them living it as well. And I think that's, I felt so challenged where I was like, you have so little, yet you're saying I'm ready to give everything for Jesus. And you know they meant it, like from how they were saying it and leading us in worship. And we even went to some of the homes and I had the opportunity to meet the children that I sponsor, which was amazing. And the children that me and my mum sponsor. And we brought some gifts. We brought some like football tops and teenage boy things. But the mother, her gratitude and her love for what we had done. And to be honest, we hadn't really done that much. Like, yeah, we were there and yeah, we sponsor her children, but it's the church and it's what those communities and people are doing. But her love for us, we left with bags and bags of stuff, like all these vegetables and this fruit and these baskets that she'd made and things that she could have sold and made money off of and to actually like help her survive. But she was, and we could not say no. Like, there were some things we actually were like, please, but like loads of sugar cane, it was so much stuff. And because she was just so, she was like, you've done so much for me, I want to just give. And it was so sacrificial. And I think that's what I felt really challenged by, where I was like, I find generosity, it can be quite easy if it doesn't actually cost me that much, where it looks good, where I'm like, oh, I can give you some of my chocolate, I wasn't going to eat it anyway, so that makes me look good, and you know, I like chocolate, but fine. Well, actually her generosity was, it really cost her something. And her generosity to her church and her children and to Jesus, but also to us, I was blown away and so challenged. And I think even just like talking about this theme of generosity, I can't not think of those experiences and how they just poured out the love of Jesus through their openness to be generous and to give it all for him.
Yeah, there's this verse that Jesus says, that comes from Jesus, and he says, those who try to keep their lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives for my sake will find their lives. But of course, it's not talking about generosity in itself. It's talking about like giving up our lives, giving it to Jesus. So that's the context of the verse. But I also believe it's true to things on this earth. If we hold on to things so tightly, we're actually going to miss the point of what life's about. But kind of if we choose to actually be open and lose it for his sake, be like, and be open to lose it for his sake, that's where we find true life, because then we stop being a slave to the things that we own or the things that we have, and we start being a servant, or even some people don't like it, but a slave to Christ. No, we give up our lives. I love that, sacrificially. And we're going to talk about that, right, in another episode, about like sacrificial giving and what it means to be sacrificial.
Yeah. And I also think, like, just to kind of, I guess, segue into the next part as well, our generosity isn't also just for others. There is a bit of it that is for us as well. And I love how God wants to transform us through generosity as well. Like, as we partner with God, like, we do our bit and he does so much more. Like, again, going back to the woman with the perfume, like, she poured her perfume on Jesus's feet. But in that act, like, she was able to encounter God and, like, have a moment with Jesus. And one moment with Jesus can change the rest of our lives forever. Mm-hmm. And so when we are generous in those moments, we get to partner with God and we get to experience his spirit. We get to experience his love. We get to experience what he has for us. So there is a little bit where we actually do get something out of it. We get God. Mm-hmm. And like, if you want to get anything out of life, mate, I don't need anything else. I just want to get more God. And in the Old Testament, like, we're going to read about this girl called Hannah. And in her acts of generosity, she was able to encounter God and actually know God a lot deeper. And just to give some, I guess, some context about this, I'd love for you guys to go read it. It's in 1 Samuel 1. But basically, there's this girl called Hannah, and she can't have children. And it's really, really sad. And her husband has another wife. And the husband and the other wife, they kind of like make fun of Hannah for the fact that she can't have kids. And it's actually sad. Like, I'm so sorry, but how is your husband making you feel bad because you can't have kids? But anyways, I just wanted to stick up for Hannah in that moment. Anyways, she basically like takes her feelings to God, and she said, God, like, I have the faith, basically I have the faith to believe that you will give me a child, and the child that you give me, I'm going to give this child back to you. Like, this child is going to be a child of God. He's going to serve you. He's going to love you, all this stuff. And then God like gives her a child. She names him Samuel. She takes him to the temple, and then he basically serves under this guy called Eli. Cool. And I just wanted to read like one scripture from that passage. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 11, it says, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor should ever be used on his head. And I wanted to kind of talk to you guys, or maybe have this conversation about like our generosity that we give to God, and like, what does that look like for us? Like, for Hannah in that moment, like, imagine praying for a child. Like, it's literally giving, you will never have kids. Like, it's impossible. And God comes through and gives you the very thing that you are asking for. You've been praying for, you've been fasting for, you've been like really wanting this. And in that moment, she had a choice. She could have been selfish and kept it. Like, oh God, you've given me the thing I've asked for. Great, cool. Mm. But she chose to make that vow. Like, God didn't force her to make the vow. Mm-mm. She chose to make that vow saying, God, if you give it to me, I will give it back to you. How crazy is that? That's wild.
It is crazy. I've got a little note about that where she's just as faithful as Abraham, but instead she made the promise instead of God making, God made a promise to Abraham and then he was faithful in that. Or actually Hannah... Wow. Made that promise and was faithful to it. Mm. And I think what also I think Hannah's really defined by is how she worshipped. And I think that's a real key part of her generosity, is even when her prayers weren't immediately answered, she worshipped. Even the day when Samuel was born and then she sacrificed him, didn't kill him, gave him. Gave him to the temple. And like, actually, that was a day of a huge sacrifice for her. And yet she still worshipped and praised God. And I think what is an incredible pattern of Hannah is her worship in the waiting, and praised when God gave, but also when he seemed to not have give. Like, it wasn't on her circumstances, but she always praised. And I think sometimes our generosity is also that attitude of praying and praising God, even when we don't feel like it. I think he sees that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I also love to look at it in hindsight as well, and actually imagine what if God did give her Samuel, which then she didn't give Samuel to the temple. Who would he have become? And I don't think he would have become the hero of faith that he did become. You know, he became a huge player in the biblical story, in David's story.
Yeah.
And then
and therefore run to Jesus in the end.
Yeah.
Mm. And I'm thinking, what would have happened if she didn't? And so there's even this thing like, God through our generosity does great things. You look at the boy with the fish and the loaves, and had he not been generous, Jesus wouldn't have been able to feed 5,000 people. Mm. And what seems like sorry, this is not the point that we're bringing out of this. We're saying it's a big sacrifice, and it was a huge sacrifice for Hannah. But I don't know if she could have ever imagined that God would have used Samuel in such a big way as she did.
How could she?
No, she just knew that that's what she wanted to praise God with her sacrifice and with what he had given her. What you said, he will give freely back to him. And through what we give, God does great things.
Even bigger than we can ask or imagine. Yeah.
And I like how in verse 27, she says, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I asked. And then in verse 28, she says, so now I will give him to the Lord. And I think with the theme of generosity, it's easier to give something that doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. If it belongs to you, if you have attachment to it, it is much harder to give that thing away. And there's a scripture when Jesus is preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about not storing your treasures on earth where the moths will destroy them easily, but to store your treasures in heaven. And yes, he's talking about like things that we prioritize. So like pride, ego, all this stuff, actually those are treasures on earth that will be destroyed. Like you can't take your pride up to heaven with you, but you can take your faith. You can take your relationship with God. And I know that's more likely the context, but I think that works as well for material things. Mm. I think when we have an attachment to the things that we have, for example, like our money or our resources, things that on an earthly sense, yes, I worked, so I got this. This does belong to me. But if we see everything as, actually, no, I'm stewarding this. Actually, no, this is stuff that God has allowed me to have. Like God gave me the job. God gave me the grades. God gave me my place into university. Actually, when we have those things, it's much easier to give it because we know that ultimately it was God that gave it to us. We didn't get it by ourselves. Like we didn't work hard alone. Like God had a massive part to play. And I think for Hannah, she knew God had a massive part to play in how she was able to have this child. Therefore, because she knew that this child came from God, it was much easier to give it back because it was like, well, God, it was yours anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can have it. And so for us, like, I guess when we're looking at our lives, whether it's like being at university or being in school or having a part-time job, like, how do you see that? Do you see that as something that belongs to you and you alone? Mm. Or is it something that, you know, God has blessed you with and this belongs to God? Mm. And so because it belongs to God, how much easier will it be for you to give? And I'm not saying it will be easy all the time, but like it should give you that confidence to be like, actually, because God's given it to me, I can give it back to God. He's got me. It's like what you're talking about, your grandma, like, oh no, God will provide. Mm. Like God's got this. Like the same God that gives, he gives again. Like he doesn't provide once, he keeps providing. So actually I can give it back.
In our society, there is a great sense of entitlement to the things that we have.
Oh yeah,
you know, I've worked for it, therefore it's mine.
Yeah,
and if I give it up, then
I've earned it.
You know, I'm doing good because it's mine, but I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. That's such a good thing that you're talking about. Like actually, the money that we have in our bank account, it's on loan from God. God has loaned it from us, and at one point he's gonna transfer that loan from us to somebody else, and it's gonna be someone else's loan. But and that applies to everything that we have. Someone said it's as if it's on loan from God.
Yeah,
my job is on loan from God, and currently it's with me, and maybe he'll take it away at some point and transfer it to somebody else. But then that takes thinking of it that way takes away this this idea of entitlement. Like I'm entitled to the things I have in my life, and I can say at least for myself, like this is a lot easier said than it is done because I know the things that I have, I do feel this sense of like ownership, and I do need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and say, like, Holy Spirit, would you take away this sense of entitlement that I have to things? And that's even an invitation. You know, if you know there's an area of your life that you actually feel like you're holding on to very tightly, and you think, if God asked me to give that away, I think I'd find that very difficult. Or if he asked me to do this, I'd find that really tough. Actually invite the Holy Spirit into that. Like, Lord, would you break down my sense of entitlement, and would you help me to open up my hands, because I don't want to be holding on to the things that are going to be eaten away by the moths, as you said.
That's great. Okay, love that.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Great. No, I think that's true. And I think it's good to be self-aware mm-hmm. of these yeah. things. That we're not having this conversation to like shame or be like, oh, you can't give in this area. But actually it's good to be aware of the areas where, you know, I need to invite God in. Mm-hmm. Like we're not like a finished, we're a work in progress. Like God's going to keep working on us. And in different points of your life, there'll be areas where this was easier to give away in one season, but in the next season, actually, no, this is really difficult. Mm-hmm. And so like we can keep inviting God in. But I also wanted to talk about how Hannah's generosity transformed her. Mm. Because in the scripture, it says like further down in 1 Samuel 2, when she's like talking to God and like having her moment of, I guess, prayer, she says like, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The childless woman now has 7 children, and the woman with many children wastes away. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heaps. He seats them with the princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. And I think like in all of this, she's basically saying that like God's generosity and how God chooses to bless people, like you can't really calculate it. Because it's like the people that have a lot, they'll waste it away. But the people that don't have anything, God can randomly bless them and give them everything. Like God is so generous and we can't wrap our heads around like how he chooses to bless us.
Yeah.
Like God has no formula.
It makes no human logistical sense.
Like it doesn't make any sense at all. Like makes no sense. But in that, it's like if God has chosen to bless you, like really praise him for that. Like, yeah. Well, thank you, God, for that blessing, because you didn't have to. But you chose to, because that's who you are. Like you love us so much that you just give all the time. So I think that's really cool. I don't know what else you guys think about like Hannah's generosity and how that like changed her or transformed her.
I think one thing to point out is that if we want money, we can get it. If we want power, we can get it. The truth of the world right now is we are able to obtain material wealth without God and choose to ignore him. But the invitation that Hannah was kind of saying is that not necessarily that if we choose to follow God, he's going to give us all these things. We can get these things if we want anyway. But it's the understanding, as she said, that I am the woman without children, but you gave me children.
Mm-hmm.
I am a servant and you gave me inheritance.
I think there's so much that we can take from Hannah. And I think we've probably touched on loads of it already. I think some of the things that stand out to me was her faithfulness and her generosity, and also her openness to it and her willingness. But also what you were saying, Matty, about just how God used that generosity beyond what she could ever imagine. And actually, if we had that mindset in our generosity, when probably there's moments when we find it a bit more difficult to be generous, of being like, God, may you open my eyes to see what potential this could lead to. Like that's, I think that's quite a cool mindset of actually having. It's our generosity is partnering with God and his plan. It's not just us doing nice things so we feel good about ourselves, but actually coming alongside God's plan. And even how he used Hannah as a real key part in his plan. So it's almost like even just an attitude of generosity can see God move. So that's probably something I am inspired by from Hannah.
One thing that's important, I think, is that sometimes as Christians, we believe that if we give, we might receive, you know, and actually... That I think that misses the point completely of what generosity is, or even and it kind of reduces Hannah's sacrifice, because of course she gave, and then Samuel received so much, right? And a lot of the times that does happen. God is able to do much, or not God is able to do, but great things happen as a result of our generosity.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's always true, and I think that misses the point also of generosity. Sometimes we give and we actually have no idea what it was for. And it looks quite useless,
yeah.
Or like it didn't have much effect. And sometimes we give lots and actually we don't receive back lots. And that's a part of like the life that we have. But it highlights something important about generosity. And we touched it in the beginning, but I think it's important to highlight again. That generosity is not actually about what is received back or what comes as a result of it. It's all about our heart posture towards 100%. The thing that we're letting go of.
Yeah,
I think that's really highlighted with Hannah, because she didn't actually know what was going to happen. She just wanted to praise the Lord with her sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with us as well. We might feel as if we actually want to give something away because we hold on to it too tightly, or we want to give something away because we feel as if God is calling us to it. And we can hope and pray that great things come of it. And or if we give away lots of money, we can hope and pray that the Lord would return it and provide for us. But that is actually not the point of generosity. Yeah. It's not, we're missing the point in it. It's all about our heart posture towards what we are giving, and almost nothing about the outcome of what we give.
Very well said.
Come on.
Clip that.
No, see that on the Instagram.
Clip that, yes. Go to the Instagram to see that. That was great. And I think, like, obviously this is for our, I guess, time of Lent, as we'll be journeying through these different acts of generosity throughout the weeks. But again, it's exactly what you said, Mateus, like our generosity isn't for us. It's actually for us to surrender, that we may receive more of God. And so, like, I guess for whoever's listening, like, what is, I guess, an area where you could be generous in? What is something that you might be holding on to? Maybe it's the job. Maybe it's, I don't know, this particular thing that you can actually give back to God and be like, actually, God, I want to surrender this and give it to you. Or like, you can bless somebody else and say, hey, like, I have this, but can I give it to you? Like, I know God's given it to me, but I want to bless you with that. Like, where can we throughout the weeks show different acts of generosity, which we will be exploring throughout this series. So make sure that you stay tuned with us. It's not just podcast content that we've got for you guys. We've got vlogs for you guys. We've got Instagram clips for you guys. We've got on the street questions for you guys. We've got so much stuff.
Absolutely spoiled.
I know.
Look at us being so generous.
That's, I guess, our generosity from us to you guys. And also join us with our little acts that we're going to be doing throughout the weeks as well for our generosity series. But guys, thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the Generosity series. Make sure that you like, thank you, I've got vocals. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. If you're watching this by YouTube, leave us a comment. Let us know anything that stood out to you in this episode, or maybe something that you want to give up. But guys, thanks for watching this episode. Tune in for the next episode of our Generosity series. We cannot wait to see you. See you guys later.
Toodles.
Bye.